Good evening.
Good evening, Hulk.
We're going to be waiting for a minute or two till someone else comes on.
Okay.
Anna said she wasn't going to be here tonight, so usually she's the one who asks questions and makes comments.
Yeah. I haven't spoke to her, so I'm not sure what's going on.
Oh, she's got a board meeting, she said.
Oh, okay.
I'm just a little concerned, not really concerned, but sometimes if only one person comes to the class, this class needs people who really delve into the depth of it.
Hi.
So if somebody else doesn't come, I think we'll just do this tomorrow.
Okay.
Wait, maybe there'll be some people.
I'm sorry, repeat that?
I said, let's wait. Well, maybe there'll be somebody who'll come.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
so we're going to wait about 3 or 4 more minutes.
Okay.
Judy.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So we're starting with verse 142. Chapter 2, in Tabu, Hilur, Himu, Hilu, Ud Hilur, Himu, Leakta, Shem, Yud He, Bavavhe, the Yehuda, Chulim, Beshem, Kol Yisrael, Limid Torah Mitzvah, La Sof Torah Mitzvah, Vayhi Noam, Adonai Eloheinu, Aleinu Maaseya, Denu Kunene, Aleinu Maaseya, Denu Kunenehu, Kedein Nishmata, Ila'a, Dekola Atya Milela Vena Herlon Vehawo Nehirin Kalho Botinin Vishlimu Kidka Chazea Dehahu Nehora Ila Itar Vekola Ael Gabe Kodesh HaKadashim Ve'it Barka Ve'it Malyayo Ve'ira Demayin Navin Ve'la Paskin Ve'kalho Mit Barkan Le'ela Witata. Consequently, this most supernal soul descends and shines on them, and all the candles or the sephirot are becoming lit in all their perfection until the supernal light is aroused and all the chambers enter the Holy of Holies, which is the seventh chamber. This is what is indicated by the inner meaning of the mating of seventh with seventh. The seventh chamber is blessed and filled with a well of spring water that never ceases to flow, and all the upper and lower chambers are blessed. Questions, comments, thoughts? And there's only two of you, so I do need you to ask some questions or make some comments. nobody wants to speak.
I didn't have a chance to go over it today.
It's no problem.
I'm just going to listen.
Well, Malka, do you have anything you want to comment on or ask?
I did not have a chance to go through the lesson today, so I'm just going to listen, if that's okay.
It's always okay. It's just if there's no questions, I don't really know how to answer or to make comments and really teach.
Okay.
Because in this class, the questions are important to draw out what's not understood.
Okay.
It's not that you need to study beforehand. It's just kind of listening to what's being said and if there are questions that arise.
Okay.
We're talking about the seventh chamber in the world of Atzilut, which is called the Kodesh Kodeshim, the Holy of Holies. And what we read earlier was that the lower, everything below that comes into this chamber, and everything that above it comes into this chamber. And this is the meaning of the seventh with seven, the mating of the seventh with the seventh. This is the unity of everything. That's really why its essence is called the Holy of Holies.
I understand that.
Okay. Verse 143. Hakaraza dirazin hahu dilait yada wilael pechush bena reuta dilait pas dialmin. Besim legoy legoy begavaihu vilayit yavda ahu reuta vilayit pas leminda uchdein kola reuta chada ad as vekola ihu bishlimu mitata umilela. Umi goy le goy ad ve'itaved kol achad. The innermost of secrets is the light that cannot be conceived and is taken account of in the ten sephirot. It is a desire that can never be grasped. This light refers to the light of Yechida, because the ten sephirot begin from Chachma, Bina, Dat, Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchut. The light of Yechida is sweetened deep within the Sephirot, and its desire cannot be conceived, not even by thought, directed at knowing him. Thus all the levels up to the En Sof, the endless world, blessed be ye, unite into one, and everything is perfected from above and below and within. Questions, comments, thoughts?
You state no one can conceive the light and Keter or the Holy of Holies.
Well,
I assume one day when everything is unified, then hopefully we'll be able to see the light of that magnitude. Is that correct?
No.
No.
What it was saying is, let me read it. when the endless light comes down to the Holy of Holies, when the Ein Sof comes down, there's everything reverts to potential, because the unity of everything is Hashem. And that light is so intense that there's nothing that can be separated from it. The whole idea of the Tzimtzum was that there was an empty space created where we could make a mistake and learn from that mistake and grow spiritually. But in the endless world, there's no room for mistakes. There's no potential for mistakes, because the light is so intense that you always know what is the right thing to do. And that's what this verse is talking about when it says, the supernal light is aroused, and all the chambers enter the Holy of Holies. And it said in the earlier verse that in the Holy of Holies, everything comes down from above it, and everything comes up from below it. And so this is the unity of high and low. Leaves no space for anything else, because everything is unified without the ability to be aware of itself. That's why in the endless world there is light and vessel, and they're in unity, but we don't really understand how that can be. Because light and vessel, sharing and receiving, are two opposites. And being two opposites, spiritually, they're on two sides of the room. They're on two sides of the universe. There's no way that they can connect to each other. But that's something we don't understand, that they're in unity when they're opposites. And that's the paradox. And
but in
this
the,
whole
in the,
go ahead.
Isn't it the end goal to have all the right and left columns unified? Isn't
yes.
that the end goal? And it's, okay.
Yes.
In one day.
The right and left column become unified in the central column.
Right.
But the highest level of central column is the Ein Sof.
Right.
Okay, now how do we unify with someone else? How do we unify with other people? How do we unify with God?
Right.
When you unify with God, you lose yourself. When you meditate, when someone meditates and they stop their thoughts, and they go into this place, wherever it might be, and some of them will say, oh, I remember that from my meditation. But that's the earthbound planes. When you elevate to higher levels, the light of those higher levels cause you to no longer be you. Yes, you're still you, but you're not aware that you're you. And that's why people say, but I went into a meditation and I don't remember what happened. I know I felt it. When I came back, I just felt good. But they don't remember exactly what happened. And other people will say, well, you know, I went to this location and this is what I remember. If you remember it, it's an earthbound plane. It still allows separation. It still allows you to be aware of yourself. But at higher levels, you don't have the vessel to be aware of yourself. The light is just overwhelming. Not overwhelming in a bad way. Overwhelming in just the process. You lose who you are. But in that process of losing who you are, you gain so much more, because that's what unity with God represents.
Okay. When you go into that meditation and you do receive a higher level spiritually, do you come back with that? Do you, like the sparks of your soul, do you increase the sparks of your soul when you get, when you go into that meditation?
You increase the size or the capacity of your vessel. So you may not remember what you experienced, but you received sparks as you described it. You do receive sparks. But as you come back, you don't remember those sparks. You don't remember the experience. But when you need those sparks in your life, because that when you went up there, you're given those sparks because that's what you need sometime in your future. And when you need them, they go up in your mind. Sometimes you just know what to say. You know what to do. That's the sparks that you brought back from your meditation that you don't remember.
So it's stored in your conscious.
It's stored in your unconscious. And
okay.
Ultimately, when everything is unified, there will be nothing concealed. But at the same time, there will not be any you to reveal what's there. And that's kind of what the understanding is when we say in the basic classes, or we say other times, that the thought of creation is God wants to be revealed. But there's no wanting, there's no desire in God. His essence is only to share. So he shares with Hanoch, and then he shares with Malka. Does he share the same thing with Malka that he shares with Hanoch? No, he shares with his vessels who are limited, represent. But when we unify at the higher levels, there's no limitation to Malka. There's no limitation to Hanoch. But at the same time, where's Malka? Where's Hanoch? If there's no limitation, they're not there, because the word Hanoch implies a limitation. The name Malka implies a limitation. You're not everything, you're Malka.
Right.
And Malka has an unconscious. But that unconscious, as Malka grows spiritually, that unconscious becomes revealed until there's no more boundaries. There's no more limitations. And that's the ultimate paradox. It needs to be experienced rather than explained with words.
So with no limitations, basically, you can pretty much, and you have this unconscious experience that you may use at a later time, that you may be able to maybe intercede what a person thinks before they speak. Is that what you're
correct.
Calling no limitations, or feel what they're feeling? Is that what
That's
you're calling
correct.
No limitations? Okay. Sometimes I can do that. Sometimes I know exactly what they're going to say, or sometimes I know what they're, and it kind of frightens me sometimes, you know, like, whoa, I can say something and I know it's, and I can say it to myself, and I know it's coming within the next minute or so. And I'm like, what's going on? How do I handle that, you know?
You handle it by appreciating it.
I do. I now I understand that I do need to appreciate it. I have this experience.
But at the same time you appreciate it, as you just said, in the next minute or the next 5 minutes, I know what's going to say. How come you don't know what they're going to say in 30 minutes? That's a limitation.
I don't know. Yeah, absolutely.
So as you grow spiritually, you'll be able to know what they're going to say in 30 minutes. Or as the prophets could see, what was going to happen in the world 300, 400, 500 years ahead. Or
exactly.
2,000 years ahead. And that's where what's a limitation? Even if you see 2,000 years ahead, and you know what's going to happen 2,000 years ahead, why don't you know 3,000 years ahead? Why don't you know the next 7,000-year cycle? This is the ultimate paradox. Because everything is known. There's nothing that isn't available for us to know. But if we did know that, as you said, you got frightened. That was the initial response because you weren't trained how to handle it. That's what the schools and the prophets did. They trained the prophet or the prophet student how to be able to handle what was going to come into them, which was this light that allowed them to verbalize what was going to happen. My own personal experience, I can verbalize it, but the words don't do it justice. My personal experience happened on Purim, so we were already raised to this higher level, and on Purim it was the first time I laid tefillin, and I'm sitting listening to the Megillah. And I go off. I went somewhere. I don't know where. But the next thing that I recognized was I was next to a very bright light, and I wanted back in. I knew I had come from that light, and I didn't want to be separated from that light. I wanted back in, but I was separated. I was myself again. Well, I was in the light. I wasn't myself. I wasn't there. The person that is Hanoch, the consciousness that is Hanoch, was overwhelmed by this light. But that was the pleasure. That was the joy. It wasn't something to be frightened of. It was something to desire. But that's not the way we're raised. That's not what our society tells us is good. Our society tells us what's good is to be yourself and do whatever it is you want to do as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. But the ultimate true desire is to be unified with that light because everybody is in that light. But what does that mean? These words do not justify what is there. They do not justify the experience. My words cannot make you feel what I felt. But
that's
you'll
true.
Have your own experience. And in your case, maybe that experience is being able to know what somebody's going to say in a minute or 5 minutes. And as you grow spiritually, that will expand, so you'll know what they're going to say a month from now, what they're going to say a year from now. And at some point, you're going to say, I want to be in that light, so I know what's going to happen always, without a limitation.
So that is the concealed light that you're speaking of that comes down through the chambers.
Yes.
Right, okay.
And but at the same time that the concealed light comes to down into the Holy of Holies, the revealed light, the revealed vessels rise up to the Holy of Holies. And they meet. And the vessels are no more and the light is no more. And it's just them. It's just us. It's just unity.
So when we pass on, and it all depends what chamber we're in or what level of spirituality that we're in, will the human race, not called human race, but the spiritual souls, which that way spiritual soul will ever see the pure light at Keter or above Keter?
Yes, but it won't recognize what it sees because
okay.
It will not be who it was.
I see.
Will be what it is. And do you feel the inadequacy of the words? You're
is
trying to understand. You're trying. Yeah, it's a question.
Okay,
you're feeling the inadequacy of my words are they cannot be understood, they can only be felt.
I see. Okay. Okay. It's the as you said, you went to this light and you felt the light. You felt the radiance, you felt the beauty of it.
I didn't even feel.
You didn't
because
feel?
I was so far beyond feelings that I wasn't there. It wasn't Hanoch.
Okay.
The word Hanoch, the name Hanoch, means I'm separated. When I knew I was Hanoch, I was separated from the light. I was a spark of light floating around that big light.
Okay.
When I wanted back in, I was being told, no, you have to go back. But where I was the ultimate unity where I was not, but I was. I was it. I was that light. But not as Hanoch, as something higher, something different, something lower, whatever it was. I wasn't Hanoch. I was the light. But being the light, there was no consciousness of being the light. When a human being shares, they're aware of them too, that they're separated from the person they're sharing with. But there is an ultimate level of the unity between a man and a wife. And it doesn't happen often. And whenever it does happen, it's amazing. That ultimate sharing where they are no longer who they are. They're just a receptacle for pleasure. They feel good. They feel wonderful. They feel pleasure. They're not themselves. And when you're at that moment, you can't stay there. Not in the physical world yet. That's the moment that approaches being in unity with the light, when you're in unity with your husband, or he with you.
I understand that. I can very much understand that. Because at that moment you are,
you're not you. You're
yeah.
One.
But when you're out of that moment, you're separated again.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. So, wow. It's hard to wrap your mind around that. I mean,
I
understand it.
You cannot wrap
I know,
your mind around
you
it.
It's like, okay, there's so
you
many things.
You can remember the feeling of the pleasure. Okay. Your words are inadequate.
Okay. You know, we have some individuals that speak of, leaving their bodies and going into this, and they keep saying the light, you know. And they can't,
right.
When they come back, they can't explain what they felt. There's no words to explain that, is what they normally say, you know.
That's an indication that they've gone to the higher worlds rather
mm-hmm.
than the people who say, I went and I saw this wondrous place and I had this experience and I saw myself in different lifetimes and it was just
right.
amazing. These are
right.
the earthbound planes. These are
but they all,
you're still you never lost who you were. And it's like
right.
you know, if we utilize sex as a and I shouldn't say sex, but if you utilize the sexual experience, you are aware of yourself and you're aware of yourself giving pleasure to your partner. And then all of a sudden you're not aware of you're giving pleasure to your partner.
Right.
You're just aware of pleasure.
Right.
And you can't verbalize it.
No.
And then you come back where you are aware you're giving pleasure or that you gave pleasure. And you settle down and your breathing calms and so forth and so on. As long
right.
as you're aware of yourself, you're in the earthbound planes. But when you no longer are aware of yourself, that's when you're in unity.
Exactly. Wow. Wow.
Now you know why people study Kabbalah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for teaching us, Anok.
You're very welcome. Thank you for drawing that through me, because it's amazing even just to discuss it. Even though I know the words are inadequate, it's an elevation.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's uplifting. It really is. You know, I have this feeling that's coming over me with this radiant light that, you know, we don't experience in the earthly dwellings, and you look, I'm like, oh my goodness, how beautiful is that? To know that, you know, it's there, you know, for you just to obtain it, actually. You can obtain that through meditation.
Obtain it, but you can never contain it.
Right. Wow. I guess I need to learn some teachings on meditation. I haven't gone there yet on the meditation side.
When you're ready, when you decide you're ready to go down that path, Jewish meditation is taught one-on-one. Utilizing the book called the Sefer Yetzirah. Online, there's 40 classes of that.
Okay.
And every week, when you would study that, every week you get a different meditative skill, a different meditative technique, because certain souls need a certain meditative technique. And so another soul needs another type of meditation. But as each of those skills, each of those things we teach, we're teaching you the skill, but the skill takes practice. So at the end of a year that you're in this class, now you have the next 80 years of your life determining which is the right meditation for your soul. So when you're ready to start that, let me know, and we'll set up a time. Right now I'm teaching 3 or 4 different people once a week where their class is.
Okay. I will certainly do that. It's just amazing. I mean, this is just, it's really opened up my spiritual appetite for feeling, I won't say feeling because that's still separated, but
the spiritual appetite is well said.
Okay.
Nothing else, it's inadequate, but it's nothing else will do more at this point.
Okay.
It's opened up your spiritual appetite.
Right.
You're hungry.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
And that is the gift. That is the gift, because that hunger leads you to find the spiritual light.
Okay. Great class. Great teaching.
You have a beautiful, beautiful evening.
Thank you, Hanok. You do the same. I truly appreciate you.
You're welcome. Judy, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hello,
Judy. You're very welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good night, both of you.
Good night.